Here is Report on America, a series of programs prepared by the News and Special Events Department of the National Broadcasting Company. Today and each week at this time, we will present a story of the nation, economically, politically, and from the viewpoint of the people themselves. In past broadcasts of this series, W.W. Chaplin of New York and reporters of NBC-affiliated stations have been heard. Today, Bob Letts of the NBC News and Special Events staff in San Francisco will report. Portions of today's program are transcribed. Now for his report on America, here is Bob Letts.
A San Francisco newspaper man, Robert O'Brien, wrote in his column in the Chronicle the other day about his reactions to being a Californian after having come out here just 10 years ago. The year I came west was 1939, Mr. O'Brien wrote, and he went on with this. I did not know then how many Californians there were who, like me, had responded to some vague stirring and restlessness by saying goodbye to their home states in the east and heading for the Pacific shore. In that brief statement, columnist Robert O'Brien contributed a graphic interpretation of the story of California as it is today, a story of swelling population, which is the basic problem of nearly everything which makes news about California. It was just 100 years ago that the first surge of population, emigrants hunting gold, streamed into California over the Donner Trail and in sailing vessels from around the Horn. Next year, 1950, California will celebrate its centennial, the 100th anniversary of its admission to the Union. September 9th, 1 year from yesterday, will be the date. And so, as we enter the 100th year of California's statehood, here is a report on California, a summary of conditions as they are now within the 780-mile length and 150 to 350-mile breadth of the state. Its population now is at least third greatest in the nation, behind New York and Pennsylvania, and possibly second only to New York. Since the last census in 1940, California's population has grown from 6.25 million to its 10.5 million, and actually better than one out of every two Californians of today have lived here less than 10 years. The war did much of that, of course, but the people are here, and they are creating problems. California's growth from here on will be controlled much by how much water is available. The federal government is pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into the Great Central Valleys Project. The principal monument to that program is Shasta Dam, near the headwaters of the Sacramento River in the northern end of the state. To provide moisture for crops in the lush but drying San Joaquin Valley in the middle of the state, the government, through the Bureau of Reclamation, also has built Friant Dam in foothills near Fresno, and also actually will run water uphill in a canal system being built to bring north state waters into the dry San Joaquin Valley. 2 weeks ago, Interior Secretary Krug laid before Congress a long-range plan calling for 38 more reservoirs and 8 billion kilowatt hours of power a year. Southern California already is using billions of gallons of water plus power from Boulder Dam and Parker Dam, and the state is engaged in furious argument with Arizona and Colorado and other neighbors over rights to Colorado River waters. On the Central Valley Project, which serves northern and central California, other arguments are shaping up. The Interior Department says that its long-range program will spend three times as much money on the Central Valley network of dams, canals, power lines, and irrigation ditches as was spent in developing the Tennessee Valley Project. Many Californians welcome the expenditures, feeling water and power are so necessary, but others fear governmental control. Here are two sides of that argument. First, for the government, a statement by the Western Director of the Bureau of Reclamation, Richard Boak, when I visited with him in Sacramento.
As I see it, the Bureau of Reclamation is engaged in a big public enterprise here in California. A public enterprise lays a base for a myriad of private enterprises, new industries and jobs and development of resources that people can use. It's the job of developing water and power for the people of California. And not for just a few of the people, but for all of the people. When we develop the water with monies that are furnished by New York and Florida and Mississippi and Illinois, as well as California, reclamation law directs us to see that the benefits of water and power development go to everybody, little, big, and otherwise, not to just a privileged few.
That is the official position of the federal government, as related by the Western Director of Reclamation, Richard Boak, And now for the other side of the argument in the same length of time, here is Bert Smith of the Irrigation Districts Association to explain his stand against the Interior Department's policy.
Working as individuals and as members of organized groups during the past 60 years, the people of California have developed nearly 5 million acres of irrigated land. This acreage equals nearly a quarter of the irrigated acreage of the whole United States. Through the years, certain fundamentals for water use have been developed, certain ideas that men live by, so to speak. We see in the federal program of the Bureau of Reclamation a new attitude toward water rights and a new attitude toward the conditions for the delivery of water with which we do not agree. This controversy, which is setting the pattern of future water use in the state, must be composed. There must be changes in the reclamation law and changes in the philosophy of the Bureau of Reclamation if our future is to be free of controversy, dissension, and free of litigation.
There's another continuing battle in California, and much of it centers around a labor chieftain named Harry Bridges. He is president of the CIO's International Longshoremen's and Warehousemen's Union. As of this time, his union has a waterfront strike in Honolulu more than 4 months old, a warehouse strike in the San Francisco Bay Area about 3 months old, and a new sugar refinery strike at the North Bay community of Crockett. How does the California public feel about Harry Bridges? Listen.
Harry Bridges, I don't see anything wrong with the guy. I think they ought to leave him alone. He's just trying to do a job. Might be a little radical, but he's trying to do a job for the union. That's the main point, isn't it?
Harry Bridges has ruined this town.
I think Bridges has a lot on the ball, but I agree with most of the people who say his red tendencies go a little too far.
Well, as a union man, I wish they'd lay off the poor guy.
The federal government has an interest, too, in Harry Bridges. Later this month, the government will start its third effort to deport him on charge of falsifying his Americanization papers, a charge of being a communist and not admitting it. And while labor and water get much attention in California, there are other subjects of continuing importance. Agriculture is one. It's big and has been for decades. For a summary of the state's farming story, here is Henry Schacht, agricultural director for Station KNBC.
Summarizing, this fellow we so glibly call the California farmer, trying to put him in a pigeonhole and say, there he is, look him over, is like trying to put together a giant jigsaw puzzle into one coherent picture. California's farmers, or ranchers, as we prefer to call them, are people of many interests, of many enterprises, of many problems. They cover a lot of territory, and they cover it with a bewildering variety of crops. But one thing we can say about them right off is that they are among the world's greatest producers of wealth. Each year, from their fields and orchards, their hillside vineyards, their mountain pastures, they create more wealth than all the gold that has been taken from California's mother lode since the strike of 49. On some 30 million acres of land, our farmers grow more different commercial crops than any other state in the Union and more than any other area of comparable size in the world. Over 200 different commercial crops, ranging from avocados to zucchini. California ranchers are cowmen and sheepmen, fruit growers and grape growers, cotton farmers and nut growers, dry farmers and experts on irrigated agriculture. The California rancher may run cattle and sheep on 5,000 acres of rugged foothill range. He may plant his cotton in rows 3 miles long in the San Joaquin Valley, or he may draw the living for himself and his family from a mere 10 acres of oranges. The California rancher has no common denominator unless it lies in such characteristics as these. He worries about water. Everyone in California does that. He uses power machinery and labor-saving equipment to an extent unsurpassed in any other section of the country. If there is any better way of doing anything on the farm, he wants to know about it right away. He has the courage, intelligence, ingenuity, and resourcefulness that spell success in farming anywhere. And if you study California agriculture, you'll come to this conclusion. Gold and oil and movie stars, Henry Kaiser and Earl Warren, San Francisco's Bay and Yosemite's Falls may grab the headlines, but the California rancher is the fellow who makes the state go.
Along with the story of agriculture, California can talk about other big industries such as oil, shipping, including trucking, which carries more interstate freight than all other forms put together, aviation, motion pictures, steel, canning, lumber, and mining and fishing, and tourists who bring millions of new dollars into the state every month, and Army and Navy and Air Force business. But despite all of the activity, California is experiencing a decline in business like many other states. Figures released just today by the Federal Reserve Bank show department store sales down in all parts of the state. Sales in Los Angeles for the week ending September 3rd sagged 10%. San Francisco department store sales down 6%, both these figures compared with the same week of a year ago. Average sales since the first of the year are down 10% in Los Angeles compared with the same period of 1948 and down 1% in San Francisco. But decline or no decline in general business, organized criminals find their activities worthwhile. For months, there have been localized rumblings about payoffs and other forms of gambling maneuvers. Then real trouble developed in Los Angeles. It was highlighted by the wounding of gangster Mickey Cohen in an ambush. And now Mickey Cohen's interests have been linked, although not conclusively, with Frank Costello in New York and the once notorious Detroit Purple Gang, which now is reported operating out of Nevada and Arizona. Governor Warren, taking official recognition of the problem, said this.
Late though it now is, it should become a matter of conscience with everyone, law enforcement officers and citizens alike, to purge ourselves of its effects. Our actions should go far beyond the apprehension of the hoodlums who were shooting at their gangland rivals.
The economic story of California still is lush enough to attract big-time gangsters as well as legitimate business, and it also is big enough to attract the attention of big-time politicians. California may become the second state in voting strength after the census of 1950, and the Democrats realize that for sure. A Western States Democratic Conference will be held in San Francisco a week hence, with several cabinet officers expected to attend. President Truman is thinking about a vacation in Southern California at Long Beach next month, and the governorship is at stake next year. Will Earl Warren run again for a third term? He's keeping that answer to himself, but meanwhile, his lieutenant governor, Goodwin Knight, is regarded as almost a certain candidate for the Republican nomination. The Democrats, while organizing seriously, have an intra-party fight over whether Jimmy Roosevelt, the son of the late president, should be their candidate. And while the political groundwork is being laid for a campaign which doesn't occur until next year, the state's citizens are choosing sides for some elections coming this autumn, November 8th. Of principal interest is a battle over pensions for the needy aged and the blind. Last year, an entirely new administrative setup was voted in by a 1% margin. Now, a repeal against this is on the ballot. The amount of pensions, $75 for the aged and $85 for the blind, is not the issue. Rather, the fight is over whether a Los Angeles promoter named George H. McLean, who put over last year's vote, will remain in the picture or not. His former secretary, Mrs. Myrtle Williams, now is the state director of social welfare. Californians also have regional problems within their widespread community. The Bay Area, for example, has a bitter struggle over where the second bridge between San Francisco and Oakland should be situated. The present span, longest in the world with its nearly 8.5 miles, is becoming a bottleneck. Oakland interests want to build another just like it, only 300 feet to the north of the present bridge. San Francisco interests favor a more southerly location, about 5 miles down the bay. Los Angeles, sprawling over almost 450 square miles, is trying to develop a rapid transportation system for its millions of residents. Every part of the state is demanding more and wider highways, and the 4 million automobiles in California, largest number of any state in gross and on a per capita basis, bang their fenders in loud and often deathly protest against overcrowded roads. Many schools must take their pupils on morning and afternoon shifts, and a special bond issue for $250 million to help the impoverished districts around California will be on the November ballot. Yes, the problems of population can be found at the base of almost all of California's worries.
That concludes Chapter 6 of Report on America. Each week at this time, the News and Special Events Department of the National Broadcasting Company will cover a different section of the nation to bring you the story of our land. In previous broadcasts of this series, you have heard W.W. Chaplin of New York and reporters of NBC-affiliated stations. Today, your reporter was Bob Letts of the NBC News and Special Events staff in San Francisco. Portions of today's broadcast were transcribed. Next week's Report on America will feature NBC's veteran roving reporter, W.W. Chaplin, whose program will originate from Kentucky. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.